some people get offended over things. You know, the biggest reason why people leave churches is over offense. The Bible says in Matthew 24, in the last days, some would lose their love. And the majority, many, the word says, the word of God says many would lose their first love. That word many means majority. From the Greek to the English, that means majority would lose their first love. That word love is agape, which means many in the church would lose their first love. Isn't it interesting that in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, Jesus is talking to all seven churches, but in this church, he's talking to the church in Ephesus. Hear the word of the Lord. And he's talking to the church in Ephesus, and he says, he who has an ear to all the churches, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. But in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, the church in Ephesus. Now, if I was deserted on an island and all I had was a Bible, but they told me I just had one book in the Bible, I would choose a few different books, but one of my favorite books is the book of Ephesians. Think about it. It teaches you who you are in Christ. It teaches you about marriage, relationships. It teaches you about honoring those in authority, honoring your parents. Think about it. It talks about spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and high places, wickedness on high, Satan himself. It talks about the fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. So it's all there. It's all there. They were a giving church. They were a serving church. But nonetheless, the Lord said, nevertheless, I have this one thing against you. You've lost your first love. You've lost your first love. You know, I could be preaching up here today and losing my first love. I could be on the keyboard or drums and lose my first love. I could be usher or greeter and lose my first love. And the important thing is to keep our first love first. Keep our first love first. And my uncle, Pastor Jerry, Uncle Jerry, we called him Pastor Mariello, he taught me the value of honor. He taught me the value of respect. He taught me the value of not getting offended, but being humbled. And I'm thankful today at almost 61 years young. I feel like I'm 21, but at almost 61 years young, I'm grateful for a man. Because see, connection, I'm prophesying to somebody, connection brings protection. Connection brings protection. And correction is not rejection. I know I'm saying this by the Spirit. Correction is not rejection, but correction brings protection. Listen to me. And if you stay in position, God will change your condition. I'm not trying to rhyme. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm prophesying the word of the Lord. When you stay in position, God will change your condition. But the Bible says in the last days, many, that means the majority of the church, would not only lose their first love, they'll still have church. They'll still have church. We'll still have good music. We'll even sing songs like, Lord, break me. But do we really want to be broken? Be careful what you ask for. But correction brings protection, not rejection. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So understand, I come from a deep lineage, roots, and Pastor David as my youth pastor, and Pastor Angela as my youth pastor, and my uncle, Pastor Moriel, and his dear wife, my Aunt Grace. What a name, Grace, amazing Grace. And he would tell me sometimes, my nephew up there in the balcony, and I realized that correction brings protection. And I'm protected today. I've been through many valleys. I've been through many scars. I've been through many hurts. But the Lord has protected me all these years. Why? Because when you submit to authority, Hebrews 13:17 says, submit to those who rule over you. Sometimes we don't like, in America, we don't like to hear that word rulership. You know, it doesn't say dictatorship, it says rulership. Those that rule over you, submit to those who rule over you as those that have to give an account, and let them do their job with joy, with pleasure, not with grief, for this would be unprofitable to you. Which means the more we submit to our authorities, the more God's going to bless us. Like Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4, 8, 9, and 10. Jabez, he said, I don't want to cause any pain. Imagine your mama, he names you Jabez, which means pain. That before you even come out of your mother's womb, your assignment is already pain. I don't want to be pain. I want to be like, you know, laughter. But he said, I don't want to cause any pain. And the Bible says that God honored Jabez more than any of his brothers because he honored his mother and father. Isn't it interesting? I'm just prophesying here, if that's okay. I'm prophesying the word of the Lord. You'll find in the Old Covenant and the New Testament where it says, honor your mother and father. But that doesn't just mean naturally, it means spiritually. Come on, talk to me, somebody. It means spiritually honor as well. Spiritually honor as well. And it's a promise in the Bible that I'll bless you with long life. I'll bless you with longevity. I'll bless your dreams. I'll bless your visions. So I'm grateful that although I was challenged and even rebelled at times as a young man, God's mercies were new every morning. Every morning. Every morning. So I thank God that my uncle was a spiritual father to me. My aunt was a spiritual mother to me. You know, the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 7, it says the sons gather the wood, but the fathers make the fire. And the mothers knead, with a K, they knead the dough. Where it means a spiritual mother can mold you and shape you and speak in your life. And a father, oh my Lord, we could speak about fathers. I remember years ago, I'm probably going back about 45 years ago, Pastor David, when you spoke about where are the Elijahs of God. That goes back almost 40 years ago. But you see, there was a man named Elijah and Elisha, and Elisha just wanted to come and serve. He just wanted to come and serve, and he said to Elijah, can I come and serve you? He said, sure, but I just want to kiss my parents goodbye. Now that's a spiritual principle. We talked about honor. But he said, how have you grieved me that you want to kiss your parents goodbye? See, don't figure God out in the natural. God is not natural. See, there's a word for somebody. When you think in the natural, you reap. When you sow in the natural, you reap in the natural. You got to think by the Spirit. See, the Bible says the world looks at our wisdom as foolishness. God looks at some of our things as foolishness. But here is a young man named Elisha wanted to serve Elijah. And Elijah said, what have you done that you would grieve me? What's so grievous about that? It's an honorable thing. Is God contradicting himself? No, because God's not the author of confusion. But I believe sometimes God will show, and we love all of our fathers, but God will show a spiritual father something that you don't see in the natural. And look what happened. He went on to become a son. He went on to become a son, Elijah did. But first he became a servant. And the Bible says that he performed double the miracles than Elijah. You see, you have pastors here today that are not just pastors, but they're spiritual fathers. They're spiritual mothers, and they want you to have double for your trouble. Come on, somebody. 2 Kings 2:12 says, before Elijah went up, Elisha screamed out, my father, my father. He didn't say, my bishop, my pastor, my father, my father. There's power when you're under authority and having a spiritual father. In the last book of the Bible, the Old Covenant, in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, the Lord said, I'll destroy this earth with a curse. Why is this earth cursed? I'll tell you why. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, I'll destroy this earth with a curse, lest I turn the hearts. Listen to me, I'm prophesying. This is a new season of turning. And whenever there's a turning, there's an unrest. You see, in Chicago, you understand more. Those of you from the East Coast, you understand when it's summer and it turns fall, it's a nice season, but there's an unrest of the future. Winter's coming. It's going to get cold. It's going to get snowy and so forth. When God turns, there's a season of unrest. But let me tell you something. He's equally in the valley as he is in the mountaintop. He's equally in the summer as he is in the winter. Come on, somebody. But he said, I'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons, the hearts of the sons to the fathers. That's what the word says. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, you have 10,000 teachers, but not many fathers. You have 10,000 instructors, but not many fathers. We need fathers in the faith, mothers in the faith. Galatians 4:19 says, I travail. I preached to our women the other day. I said, if us men get a birthday gift and we get one gift, you mothers deserve two. If us men get two Christmas gifts, you ladies deserve four. To push out a baby like that, no way, no how, thank you. I'm not anointed for that. Nor was I created for that. But Galatians 4:19, Paul the Apostle said, he said, I travail till Christ be formed. The Bible says give honor where honor is due. You hear what I'm saying? Sometimes we get embarrassed, or sometimes we have to be careful that it doesn't become false humility. But the Bible says give honor where honor is due. So you're blessed. This church is blessed. Let me tell you, this church was blessed before my cousins came to this church, and this church is blessed now, and this church is going to continue to be blessed. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord, David said, shall flourish in the courts of our God. Paul said to Timothy, my beloved son. There, the Bible speaks about list of sons, illegitimate sons, good sons, faithful sons, and you are a good congregation. You're more than a congregation. You're una familia. You're one family. Come on. Yes, you are. And this is what heaven's going to look like. This is what my church looks like in Chicago. This is what heaven's going to look like. You know, I don't believe in a white church. I don't believe in a black church. I don't believe in a Hispanic church. God's church is multicultural. That's what heaven's going to be like. That's what heaven's going to be like. Pastor Angela and I, of course, you know, because my mother and her father were brother and sister. And, of course, we share the same grandmother. And our grandmother was just about 4'9", 4'10". And we called her the Mighty Midget. So, really, thank God for spiritual mothers, spiritual fathers. But my grandmother, she was the Mighty Midget. She was 4'9". But when she would pray, heaven would shake. So, anyway, yes. So, I spoke to Usher. I met Usher. The other day. And because my grandmother, she was 4'9", she could pray. I'm serious. She could pray up a storm, boy. She could pray up a storm. There was a time where my cousin Angela, Pastor Angela, her daddy almost died. And you know what? The prayers of the righteous avail much. Well, let me tell you, that little lady, but she was a powerhouse. My grandmother's, you know, one went home to be with Jesus at 92, the other at 95, and they went in their sleep. They just went in their sleep. So remember this. Let's recap now. We need spiritual mothers. We need spiritual fathers. Okay? We need spiritual sons. We need spiritual daughters. Being planted in the house of the Lord, you'll flourish in the courts of your God. You understand what I'm saying? Correction does not bring rejection. It's not meant to offend you. The Bible says in the last days, a majority of the church would get on offended. You see, now, we're telling these jokes. Well, let me tell you, laughter. Laughter is good like a medicine. Come on. See, this is what community is. See, the name of this church is what? Community. Right? Church? Catalyst. Right, but catalyst what? No, really. If I came here today to some of you came in with heaviness, laughter's good for your soul. All right. I want to share with you for 5 minutes. Can I share with you for 5 minutes? It was a cold night. 1961. In Jackson Heights, Queens, New York. At a hospital called Physicians Hospital. Prior to that, I was just very young. Just before my fourth birthday. I went to go to use the bathroom. This was living in Corona on Allstein Avenue in Corona. And I went to the bathroom and I was urinating blood. Quite frightened as a little child. Called in my mother. I said, Mommy, look, there's blood in the toilet. My dad was a hardworking man, had 3 jobs to supply for the family. They both were believing that I'd be in the hospital maybe just for a couple hours for observation. And then they kept me overnight, and I was not in the hospital for 2 hours. Or 2 days, or 2 weeks, or 2 months, but I was in the hospital for nearly 2 years. And it was a cold February night, 1961, in a semi-private room. My roommate was Gus. He was 12 years old. I thought, wow, you know, when you're just a little guy and you see someone who's 12, you look at them like they're an adult. His name was Gus. He was African-American. And I'm alone in the room, all by myself with Gus. It was about 9 o'clock at night. I looked out the window and snow was falling. At about 9 p.m., there or so, somebody walked in my room. I could see him in my spirit. And every time I tell the story, it's like it happened all over again. You know, when you name your church, there's revelation that goes with that name. That's why we're in Calma Church. That's why you're Catalyst community, reaching out to your community, but you are such a community church. This church is a community. You guys are the best. I'm telling you what, I don't say that ever. I minister in a lot of places. Yesterday, Ronnie Menizzi invited me to minister at his church yesterday. I just got back from England, Italy, and many countries, but that's not important right now. But on this night, somebody walked into my room. And I said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am the Holy Spirit." It wasn't like seeing like Pastor David the way I see him right now. It was different. I seen in my spirit, but he looked so real. I said, "Who are you?" He says, "I am the Holy Spirit." And he says, "I've come from the Father today to tell you that you will be healed." And right now, he's telling me that you are called to be a minister of the gospel. I had my first encounter with the Holy Spirit, nearly 4 years old. And I want you to know today that he's as real as life. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, it talks about the Trinity, the love of God. It talks about the grace of our Lord Jesus. But then it ends. Two books in Corinthians, last chapter, last verse. It ends with the communion of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit may be with you forever. And then Paul ends two books. Amen. And I pray today that we have a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit himself. That know that, as David said, "If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I'm on the highest mountain, thou art there. Where can I flee from thy presence?" Jesus said in John 14, he says, "I'm going to go up, but the Holy Spirit's going to come down." He says, "I walked with you for 3.5 years. We used to sing a song, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own." But he said, Jesus did to his disciples, he says, "I walked with you, but one's going to come, because I will not leave you as orphans." Listen, there's no orphan spirit in this house. Talking spiritually. He said, "I lived with you. You put me through situations. We cried together. We laughed together." He says, "But I'm going up," and they're saying, "Jesus, no, don't go, no." He says, "But I must go up because the Holy Spirit's going to come down, but he's not going to dwell with you. He's not going to just dwell with you. He said, "I lived among you, but the Holy Spirit's going to come and live inside of you." And today, you have somebody living inside of you. And in Romans 8:26, and with this I close, in Chicago, and when I say in closing, I ask my church, what does it mean? And they all shout, "Nothing." But today it means something. Because I believe I'm completing my assignment. The Holy Spirit, his presence is real. I was sharing something right before that. His presence is so real. And he said to the disciples, "My Holy Spirit will live in you. And I want you to know that he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you." Here's where I'm going. And with this, I finish. But my brother on the keyboard, if you would, please. Just play just whatever the Holy Spirit leads you. And I realize that he's a real person. Paul tells us in Ephesians that he can be grieved, which means he has feelings. Now, when you hear that word, he can be grieved, remember Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ." You know, I'm grateful that I'm third generation Pentecost. I'm grateful for that. I'm proud of that. But sometimes on my own, I've taken on as a child maybe condemnation. It's my own fault. And sometimes the devil's quick to condemn us. You're not worthy enough. You're not good enough. You don't serve enough. You don't give enough. You don't love enough. But this Holy Spirit that walked into my room in 1961, I'll never forget him, because I have encounters with him every single day. God is the Father. He sits on this throne. Jesus is our intercessor. Here's what I was going to say. But Romans 8:26, and this is where I quit. I'll finish. Romans 8:26 says, when you're weak and don't know how to pray, I'll be 44 years in ministry. When Pastor David said I ministered my first message at 17, it was under his ministry at Bethlehem Assembly of God in our youth room in the back at 17. But here I am all these years later, and I still can say sometimes I get weak and sometimes I don't know how to pray. I have a grandson. Sometimes I don't know how to pray for him. I have children, grown children. They've gone through so many things in ministry. Sometimes I don't know how to pray. Sometimes I pray in the spirit, but sometimes I don't know what to do. But Romans 8:26 says, when you're weak, the Holy Spirit will pray not only with you, but He will pray for you. He'll pray with you. And if Pastor David and I are just mere men, imagine divinity chooses to mingle with humanity. And here's Pastor David, and we're just men that make mistakes. But if any two, Matthew 18:19, shall agree about anything they ask, it will be done. If two men who are human, who make mistakes every day, if we two can agree and God answers us, how much all the more when I'm in agreement with the Holy Spirit? How much all the more when God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, when they three say, Jimmy, we're in agreement with you. This too shall pass. When God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost say, we're in it to win it, you're going to make it. And today I'm telling you, you're going to make it. 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 If you believe it today, stand to your feet and give God a shout of praise. Say, I'm going to make it. Come on, say, I'm going to make it. Say, I'm going to make it. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, hover over this room, I ask. Holy Spirit, breathe upon us. Breathe a fresh wind. Breathe a fresh fire. Just lift your hands toward heaven. Breathe, Lord. Breath of God. Breathe. Dry bones live again. Orlando, Catalyst, dry bones live again. To the north we prophesy. To the south we prophesy. To the east we prophesy. To the west, come in. Come in. Come in. La Santa la Boca. Peace be upon you. Peace. Peace. Strength. Joy. Hope. Father, cleanse us by the blood of Jesus. Cleanse us by your blood. Fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. Not just tongues. Not just tongues. But fill us with you. With that assurance. Ma santo poco la sata. If you need a healing, just place your hand on that infirmity right now. Be healed now. I declare it, be healed now. If you've walked away from God, you can come back now. in Jesus' name. Just say, Lord, take me back. Thank you, Father. Mantoko palapusanta. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just look at me for a moment. I release what's already in this room, deposited years ago. May it increase. Like Ezekiel, may the waters go from the ankles to the knees, to the waist, to the too deep. I see in my spirit a river, water. I see water crossing through this building. But it's the water of revival. Pastor David, the Lord spoke to me, 1 Corinthians 3:6. This is a word for you, sir. 1 Corinthians 3:6. Some plant, Apollos watered, but God will give the increase. And the Lord says to me, son, you've done your part. The people are doing their part. Now just rest, and I will do the rest. Just rest, and I will do the rest. For the best is yet to come.